This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
Our thanks again to AJ Casavell from MLB.com joining us from the World Series and talking about how the Dodgers pitching staff surprised him, surprised me, surprised you, Woods, this playoffs. And yeah, you know, just thinking about it, one thing that you never account for is simply run distribution. Jack Flaherty got hit around in a game. Yoshinobu Yamamoto got hit around. But they just let it be in one game every time. And like, all right, you lose that one. But you can lose games and still win a World Series.
Yeah, you have to.
And then when they were good, they were good. Walker Buehler got hit around in his one game, his one inning, and they lost that one. And when Yamamoto got hit around, they actually came back and won that one against the Padres. When Flaherty got hit around, they lost that game. But then when they were good, they were good. And they have
elite adjusting.
When they had plenty of offense for when the guys gave up one or two, no problem. We got a good bullpen. And when you're bad, all right, we just lose that one and you move on to the next game and go ahead and still win the series. It's just run distribution has worked out very well for the Dodgers this postseason.
Well, I'll tell you what else has been tremendous for them. It's been defense. Defense has been spectacular. The placement of where the Dodgers are in the infield. Tommy Edman, Tommy Edman has been the defensive star of that team. Mookie made a really nice play last night. But Tommy Edman, I believe it was in game two, was positioned right in that gray area up the middle where you can kind of be. There were two shots that he took away. Then there was the dive that he made across second base bag, kept that ball in the infield, saved a run. Jazz Chisholm would have scored. Tommy Edman's been spectacular. They've put him in center. They put him in short. I refer back to
that's not to say the Yankees don't know what they're doing with positioning. I think the Padres were good at positioning all season long.
I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about the runs that they have saved have been spectacular.
Does it not feel like every hard hit ball you get outfield, Teoscar is in perfect position.
Mookie
in perfect position.
Whoever's playing center that day, perfect position.
Oh, that's getting over his head. Yeah. No, two steps back.
It's been right insane, there. Man. And, you know, I think about even some of the hits that Shohei had early. The ones where he takes that mighty swing. I mean, think about how we carved Shohei up. He got two broken bat singles, and Merrill is playing on the wall because you have to, you know, because it's Shohei Ohtani, and it's just like, man, they are everything.
You know, Manny buys some of those. Tatis buys some of those because they get played deep because they're dangerous. When they miss hit one, it turns into a hit rather than an out.
They are right where they need to be. Every single time, I'm a hater. I'm not an idiot. It's a good baseball team. Again, let's not, and when they win tonight, and they talk about all that they've had to overcome, they were still picked to win the World Series. They were the World Series favorites, okay? Bar none. Going into the playoffs at the beginning of the season, I'm not going to get gaslit. I'm not going to tell you you're a bad baseball team that got lucky, but I'm also not going to be gaslit.
We want things to make sense, and there's that dissonance of knowing this isn't the best Dodgers team we've seen.
Not that we've seen.
We've seen much better, deeper, you know.
Not hungrier, though. I mean, this one's played the best in the postseason
by far.
Yep.
You know, they didn't have the talent necessarily, certainly not the starting pitching talent that some of these other Dodgers teams have had, but this one has played the best and the most together and most inspired baseball of any of them this year in particular. And I don't know that I really would have thought that. You know, Shohei Ohtani, I think it was Buster Olney Jeff Passan wrote about it. He sent him a text like, hey, I may have a dislocated shoulder, but we're going to win this, like group text. Like, is that great leadership? I don't know if Shohei Ohtani is considered a leader of that team, but it's worked out well for them this postseason.
I think, you know, they have a few. I mean, Freddie is obvious leader of that team.
But he was on the team last year.
Yeah, Mookie's a leader of that team. I mean, they have a bunch. They're a good team. I mean, three MVPs at the top. Let's not gaslight everyone into thinking that the Dodgers weren't supposed to win a World Series. All right? Like, congrats. You're going to win a World Series, but you're supposed to win a World Series. I'm not taking anything away from you. You really played your asses off. You've decimated and dominated your competition. You came back with your backs against the wall down 2-1. 100% deserve it. But you're always supposed to win the World Series. Always. You're going to be, as soon as you wrap it up today, you're the favorites for next year. Just so you know, you're the favorites.
Before you've even signed Corbin Burns or Juan Soto or whatever you're going to go out and do this offseason.
Congrats. It's what you guys are supposed to do every single year. That's it. You did it. The check cleared. You got it. It's happening.
Unless it doesn't. And then we'll talk about it.
Yes.
If it doesn't.
It's always the double edge. Like, you obviously don't want to see the Dodgers win the World Series, but also it also means baseball's over, which is like the double whammy. It's always a kick in the nuts anyway when baseball ends, no matter who hoists the
trophy. I'll be okay with it being over because then I feel like I can fully focus on, like, next season. You know what? Win or lose, the Dodgers season.
Yeah, it's over.
It ends.
Do it again.
And now you got to start working on next year. You're 0-0.
Yep.
You know, after tonight, if the Dodgers win, their record is 0-0.
Correct.
Just like the Padres, just like the White Sox. You got to put together another team, and that process starts
all over again?
Possibly tonight.
Yeah, it's crazy, man. 162 plus the playoffs and all that. And you win, you celebrate, they'll do their parade, and then it'll be, all right, well, it's time to focus on 2025. What is that walking towards me in the hall? Oh, that's somebody in costume.
That's John.
That scared me to death. Is he the Joker?
I don't know what that was.
I don't know exactly.
He's in whiteface. Whiteface okay for white people.
He looked like the Scream mask, but painted on, not like a mask.
Yeah, he was in the men's room applying some makeup and temporary face tattoos. And
I think that's
the
Joker.
Zombie jelly roll, maybe.
What are you supposed to be? Oh, me? I'm zombie jelly roll. I'm not okay.
Because I'm
Give
dead.
Me some candy.
I tried to get my almost 4-year-old Taylor, who has the curly hair, to dress up as M.R. and he refuses. I can get the costume.
Big bomba class before bossing on my head.
Like, none of his friends will have any idea
who
he
cares?
Is.
His friends don't even know. What are you? He's dressed as a Padre. I'm like, I put your hair in a ponytail. I put you in like Jamaican clothes, like the Rasta clothes. You're M.R.
That's just for you. And
would there be a funnier picture than that one? Him as M.R. He won't do it. He refuses. I'm his father. I could make him do it, but I want him to have a good time. Him walking up singing Big Bomba Class at people's houses to
Big Bomba Class before bossing on my head.
No one gets that joke.
I don't care. It's so funny. It looks just like him. All right,
Paulie.
And get things started here with our edition, today's edition of the Rindle Report.
Now tuned into the greatest.
Welcome to the Rindle Report with Paul Rindle.
Hi, Paul.
All right.
Two stories from the world of sports that we haven't gotten to yet.
We'll start off in Major League Baseball.
And one story that you didn't know you needed.
Are you laughing, biatch?
It's the Rindle Report.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
Okay, how are you?
On 97.3 The Fan.
Are you ready to bless the mood? I need some help, please.
That was good.
Can I get a
All right.
All right.
Gentlemen, we will start off in Major League Baseball. I wasn't sure if this was a little mean to do or not, but it went viral yesterday. Our old pal, John Sterling, we missed him. Was that last week we tried to get him on?
Yeah, he overslept, and he's just old.
Last week.
86 years old. He overslept.
Wasn't feeling well. No, he was sick.
He was sick.
Yeah.
And he did. He slept, though. He was asleep when we called him.
Yeah, may have woken him up.
Correct.
Yeah. But he got fooled yesterday in the bottom of the fourth inning. Aaron Judge at the plate. Did this fool either of you guys?
I did. I got fooled. I thought he got it.
I got fooled.
I was surprised how quickly it died.
And the breaking ball. There it goes. Deep left center field. And Teoscar is there to make the catch. Oh, did I get fooled on that?
I love it.
With that swing and the ball majestically going to left field. Susan, I actually thought it was going to be out, and it wasn't close.
It was not close.
John's got 40 years.
I mean,
years
it didn't
on
die
there.
At the warning track.
No, it was not
it
close.
It was a shallow-ish fly ball.
Did Teoscar even have to move?
No.
I mean,
just
he was
right there
in
his tracks.
Under it.
Yeah.
And the breaking ball, there it goes. Woo! Deep left center field, and Teoscar is there to make the catch.
Sweet angel. I'm not going to rip on John.
No.
I believe it.
Yeah,
too.
It's just.
I'm sure he
ended the bat. Maybe a bad bat, the dead part of the end of the bat.
Yeah.
Just came off.
And the breaking ball. There it goes.
Mm.
There it goes right to the left fielder.
Sammy Levitt's in studio, by the way. We haven't even Ben refused to acknowledge him.
We're going
to
give him a full segment.
Oh, we are? Okay. Yeah.
Yes, we just decided to wait that for a second.
Hi, Sammy. How you doing, buddy?
Yeah.
You can say
I'm
hi.
I'm good.
Hi.
Hi.
Miss your face.
All right, we'll see what Sammy thinks about this next story. Woodsy actually brought this to our attention. Old Lincoln Riley is at it again.
Oh, he's up to his old tricks. Old big game Lincoln. Look at you, Ben.
USC beat writer Ryan Carte, he posted yesterday on X that USC is closing practice access
to
reporters for the rest of this season, a spokesperson said. Media will still have interviews after practice, but there will be no viewing periods. And then he followed that up to say, needless to say, this is very disappointing. The only explanation from USC has been that Lincoln Riley plans to continue the new itinerary of practice the team used last week with team periods first. And he says, so the media has accidentally lost its access in the shuffle. Now, they did this last year.
They did it last year.
Caleb Williams.
Yeah, he's a big, big protector of his players.
Is that a bad thing?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a bad look.
It's a bad look.
I would think if you're actually a reporter, you're secretly going, There's nothing more boring than sitting and watching football practice, and now I don't have to do it. So.
But it gives you the thing where you can have your moral high ground, which is what every reporter wants, and what every coach wants, and what everybody wants.
So in reality, and I've covered football practices before, they only let you usually observe the stretching and the individual portions where they're practicing handoffs and snaps and stuff. Nothing that is going to give away any strategy at that point. They want to make sure that no one's there so they can't, I saw them working a tweet out. Hey, they're working on a new fake punt here for the game this week. So, yes, it really is pointless as a reporter generally to be watching practice other than maybe observing this injured player is not working or he is working, and that's all you can really see. And then after 15 minutes, you go off to a trailer somewhere, and then at the end of practice, you do your interviews. It's not that big of a deal, but PR-wise, it's a bad look.
Yeah, bad look for PR.
For a team that's already struggling and disappointing.
Yeah.
All right, and then finally to wrap it up.
Not surprised, though. That's the Lincoln Riley way. He did it at Oklahoma. I warned you, man. I did. I warned you when you hired him, Ben.
I'm actually not a huge Lincoln Riley fan.
How much
been.
A year? 11?
I think it's $132 million a year or something.
His buyout right now is $90 million.
Very affordable.
If they wanted to buy him out, it would cost them $90 million.
Chump change, as they call it at USC.
True.
I think.
It's true. Man, I warned you about him when you made this decision.
All right, and then we will wrap it up with
Coach Freeman can never buy
Hollywood and sports gossip. Gisele Bündchen, congratulations.
Saw this.
She is expecting. She and her partner, Joaquim Valente, the jiu-jitsu partner that she linked up with after her and Tom Brady divorced.
Before they divorced.
Yes.
It may have been.
No, they was.
It's they may have separated or something at that point. But,
yeah. And then the divorce, yes.
I don't follow the tabloids when it comes to the Brady and Gisele stuff much. What was the deal? So who had the kids going into the marriage already?
He did. He had one.
With Bridget.
Yeah. He had one.
Bridget he had Moynihan. One. And then did she have any? She didn't have any. Did she want kids and he didn't want more? Is that what we're speculating?
They have two kids.
They have their own kids, too.
Yeah.
They have two children together. And then Tom's he's a very good dad with his other son.
Yeah, okay.
And then now she has her own with Joaquim Valente.
Yep.
And, that anyone
so
really
what do
cares.
We think
TMZ did say that
between
she reached out to Tom ahead of time.
Yeah, she told him.
She gave him the heads up. Hey, this is probably going to be news.
This is the interesting part was that Tom Brady went to his Instagram and posted posted a picture of the sunset with the Dixie Chicks landslide playing in the background.
What does that mean, Woods? You're a music person.
Give us some landslide.
Of the Chicks. It's just the Chicks.
The Chicks, sorry.
Landslide. The cover of Fleetwood Mac.
Fleetwood Mac.
Is that a sad song, would
you
say?
It's like one of the more heartbreaking songs, I think.
So he's sad about this?
Yeah,
or?
I think, you know, it's tough.
I'll pull it up here as we go to break.
Yeah.
Poignant, what would you say?
Poignant. The lyrics, I took my love, I took it down, climbed a mountain, and I turned around.
And then I saw my reflection in the snow-covered hills until a landslide brought me down. Mirror in the sky, what is love? Can the child within my heart rise above? Can I sail through the changing ocean tides? Can I handle the seasons of my life? Now, I don't know what part he picked, because you only get a certain number, you know, certain amount of
15 seconds. Yeah.
So I think it depends on what he actually picked.
Is it possible he just made a post and it just suggested randomly?
No. I got it right here.
All right, Paulie's got
it. His part of the song was, oh, mirror in the sky, what is love? Can the child within my heart rise above? Can I sail through the changing ocean tides?
Yeah. This is emotional.
Do you feel like he was hoping to get her back at some point, and this is more closing that door? Is he a heartbroken man, Tom Brady?
I think Tom is okay. I think he's going to be fine.
So you think he's okay?
Yeah, I think it's an emotional thing. So your partner moves on and has a family.
If he had posted, say, celebration from Kool & the Gang, would that have a different meaning?
It would have a little bit different. Yeah. Just a sunrise.
That'd be a bad look.
He's one of us. It's got to be tough. I think, you know, they're still co-parenting. And I don't know them, but from what I read, that they're still co-parent and everything like that. So, but yeah, Tom Brady getting emo on Instagram last night with the chicks was not what I expected. But he's one of us.
Thank you, Paulie.
Thank you, Paulie.
All right, we got Sammy in studio. Samuel. Now, you're very excited, I realized. See, I had Sammy in studio for a whole show last week when you were gone.
Yeah.
But you didn't get to enjoy
I did not.
Sam
I was so
the way
excited.
I did. So I'll let you just enjoy Sam in our next segment.
Be happy to.
When we come back after traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. This segment of Bennett Woods brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings. Buffalo Wild Wings is football, and B-Dubs is kicking off football season with two limited time sauces. We're actually about halfway through the football season now. Try their new Buffalo Bacon sauce for bold notes of smoky bacon, or get the fan favorite hot barbecue before it's gone. Try them at your local B-Dubs or order now for takeout and delivery with Buffalo Wild Wings Go. And with that, Woods would like to welcome Sam Levitz into the program.
Sammy, thanks for filling in for me last Wednesday.
You got it.
We went off to Disneyland. What were your impressions of the Ben and Woods? You had to do the 4-hour show, didn't you?
I did the 4-hour show. We had a great time. We talked about the Padres. We talked about other stuff.
Still a little more raw last Wednesday than even today. You know, time heals all wounds. You do at some point have to turn the page and look ahead. I always look forward to baseball season, no matter how poorly the last one ended. This one was the hardest one, though, since I've been here. It was the toughest one to kind of stomach. And it all changes, though. You get out there to spring training, and you'll be out there first, I'm sure, and you see the guys and see what they've added. And, yeah, I mean, it's I try not to let myself get in the dark, like what Adam Klug is going through right now. Is he's in a dark place a little bit because he was a big Freddie Freeman guy when he was with the Braves, and I stopped him in the hallway and I go, hey, by the way, how do you let a guy like that walk away?
Yeah,
when you have the money to do it, right?
And it's not like Freddie didn't want to come back. He cried.
He cried. He wept
when he couldn't come back.
He was weeping openly about wanting to stay in Atlanta, and they're like, sorry, bud, you're on your ass. And Atlanta wins a World Series with him. And then you let him go, and I said to Adam, I go, man, that's the interesting thing. And the San Diego Padres have hired their fair share of mercenaries over the years, so the last few years especially.
With
mixed results. There is something to be said, though, looking at the Dodgers roster and going, that's one of the Braves' generational superstars, along with the Angels and Japan's generational superstar.
Along with the Red Sox
generational superstar, who you got nothing for. Nothing. One of the worst trades in history. Thank God we got Don Orsillo. Because, other than that, it is, you look at that and you go, okay, there's nothing illegal about what they're doing. There's nothing fundamentally wrong with what they're doing. But is that what we love the most about sports? I don't know. I'm asking you. Feels pretty damn good to be up 3-0 in a World Series, I bet, if you're a Dodger fan, so you don't really care how you got there. I grew up a Yankee fan, Sammy. You grew up a Met fan. You didn't care. As long as you got there and won the chip, you don't care how you got there, and you put a lot of things aside. But Adam's in the chamber, man, thinking about how you let a guy like Freddie Freeman walk when he was pretty much the heart and soul of that team and wasn't declining.
Right.
You know?
I think what's interesting, too, about the Freeman part of it is if he ends up playing a while longer, and he will presumably with the Dodgers, and I don't mean to put this into the universe, but let's say they do a lot. They're going to do a lot more winning, whether they win World Series.
Yeah, they're going to win a lot more games.
Could he be a Hall of Famer as a Dodger instead of a Brave? Absolutely. That would be sort of interesting. Look, I think what's interesting about this particular Dodgers team in this year to me is that it felt like heading into the postseason, this was the weakest they've been in a while, and now they're probably going to win the World Series. I really didn't see this Dodgers team with how in shambles their pitching was, and especially their starting pitching. I didn't see them winning the World Series this year. And look, I sort of agree with AJ Cassavell's tweet yesterday that, look, I think when you look at the rest of the field, yeah, it's sort of a weird feeling knowing that the Padres probably were the best team the Dodgers faced along the way here. And it will leave you wondering. And I heard, part of the first hour talking about how much you'll think about that and how much that might burn over time, how much it might sting over time. It's going to be an interesting part of it to think that if they would have just found a way in a game 5 or even in a game 4, that, maybe this could have been the year, but we'll never know.
Baseball players, we talk to every year. We really go almost wall-to-wall baseball during the season. And I always ask Jesse Agler, that was a crap game last night. How do you think the guys are? They're fine. They've turned the page. They're on the plane. They're smiling. They're having a cocktail. They're reading a book. They're texting their wife. Whatever. Like, they move on. You have to at 162. Yeah, I'm always interested in spring training because we asked them last year, hey, how bad did that suck? And they said it was terrible. We hated it. We were embarrassed. I want to ask them the same thing this year. And I'm really interested to see what they think, because I know the fans, we take it with us a lot. We carry it around a lot. Paulie, we were talking about it earlier, 24 straight innings. Yeah, I think a kid like Jackson Merrill, I wonder if he sat and watched this World Series and was just sick to his stomach knowing what we all think.
And that's probably true. But there's no indication that the Padres didn't win the World Series because they didn't try hard enough or care hard enough or put enough work into it. Jackson Merrill certainly did. That wasn't the issue. So, do you go back and you need more motivation to win the World Series?
He was also in attendance for Game 2, which I liked that.
Yeah, well, he was getting an award. Yeah. So he got to be in there.
But you know what I'm saying? In football, it's very easy to go, all right, we just need a little more heart and a little more, intensity and effort, and we can get to that next level. Baseball doesn't work that way. I don't think the Padres lacked even a tiny bit of heart or effort this season. That's not why they didn't win the World Series.
I'm not saying that. They showed tremendous heart all of the season. The most inspiring team in baseball, by far, the way they played. It was other teams looked at how they played, and they went, this is unbelievable they're doing.
And if they did anything wrong, there's nothing they can do to correct it until they get to the next postseason and have a lead and need their offense not to disappear.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't really change anything or correect anything until at least, October of next year.
More of not, what did you work on this offseason? Going the other way? No. More of like, how bad did that one sting for you? Because we do get the sense sometimes as fans, like, we feel like we hate the Dodgers more than they hate the Dodgers because they're in the same fraternity and they're hugging each other and they probably fish together in the off season, right? But how bad did it sting for Manny and Xander and Jackson and those guys, the core of this team, and Tatis that are going to be coming back?
Let me ask you this question, both of you. Do the Dodgers take any lessons from this season going forward? Like, we need to be less dominant next year. In all likelihood, they're going to come back with Shohei Ohtani being able to pitch, probably getting some of their, Dustin May, some of their other pitchers Glass healthy. Now. They may sign a free agent or two. They could end up another 110, 115 win team with nothing to play for in August and September. And if they lose in the playoffs, are they going to go, well, that was dumb. We did too well again in the regular season. We didn't learn the lessons of 2024 when we had to scuffle and struggle and, you know, pull one out with less than a full pitching staff to win a World Series. Is that the lesson that the Dodgers learned this year?
Save it. We'll come back with it. Okay. We'll finish with that.
That's a little bit of a tease. We will get to that. And any thoughts that you have on Game 4 tonight of the World Series, including what does history tell us about the Yankees' chances? Obviously not of winning the series. No one's ever done that in a World Series. But even stretching it to a Game 5, I got the numbers for you when we come back with Bennett Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. All right, so what lessons, if any, assuming the Dodgers wrap this thing up, what lessons do they take from this World Series title on, you know, presumably their desire to win another one next year?
I don't think anything going forward. Yeah, I don't think anything changes for them. I do think it's a tremendous amount of pressure off their shoulders.
Is that good or bad?
For who? For
the
us?
Dodgers.
Terrible.
No, the
it's
Dodgers.
Good for them.
Is it good?
Yeah.
I mean, they had a lot of pressure this year.
And
maybe they had less pressure. I don't know.
No, I think I think they're going to.
All I'm saying is it's hard to recreate the circumstances.
Sure.
Of this
which is
run
why,
for the Dodgers.
Which is why you never try to recreate any circumstances. It's going
But that's what that's all GMs ever try to do. If they can't recreate their own circumstances, they look to another team and try
correct.
To copy
their
what they did. That's all GMs do is copy to try to win a World Series. Yet, as you just said, it's impossible to recreate the actual sequence of events that turns into a World Series championship for any team.
Well, let me tell you this right now. As great as 24 was for Padres fans, I don't think you can go in, even if you brought back the exact same team.
Of course.
Oh, well, obviously we're going to dominate in extra innings. Obviously we're going to dominate late in games. Obviously the seventh inning we're going to average five runs. Like, all the things, it could go, and let's be honest, it will go completely different. There'll be a new narrative that forms around it.
Do you believe that it is almost a requirement that a team overcome some sort of adversity to win a title?
Yeah. Yeah.
You do?
Yeah.
I think every baseball team deals with some
adversity,
level of adversity.
But the Dodgers,
like the Dodgers had way more adversity
this year
than in years past.
They have been, every team deals with some injuries and stuff. But for the last decade, in terms of getting to the playoffs, the Dodgers have dealt with very little stress and adversity. They simply go out, they win their 100-plus games, and then they get to the postseason in cruise control mode when all of a sudden they have to flip a switch. And this year was different. This year, of course, the Padres battled them right to the very end. You know, while their playoff position was fairly secured, everything else was pretty much up in the air. And I'd never say as a team, that's really what we want. We don't want to run away with our division. We don't want too big of a lead in September, because when you do that, sometimes you don't even make the playoffs at all. You miss it entirely. So you never would want to try to recreate that. But do the Dodgers win this World Series if they had cruised in 10 games up, if they had done what we thought they were going to do and won 105, 110 games? Are they still here winning the World Series, or is it not the same team because they didn't have to overcome the adversity that they overcame that, you know, gelled them together or made other guys step up that wouldn't have had to step up in circumstances? I don't know the answer to that question. I'm just kind of throwing it out there.
No, but I do think there's a way to look at what the Dodgers did this year. And I think the Dodgers, I've made the joke before of if you're Andrew Friedman and the Dodgers brass, you look at a guy like Tyler Glass now and you say, Tyler, we signed you to a lot of money. We don't need you to win games in April, May, June, July.
Right.
That's for Ben Kasparius. That's for Dustin May coming back. That's for, you name it, all these other studs. Give Bobby Miller another shot, see if he can figure it out. Tyler, we don't need you in April, May, June, July. Hell, we don't even really need you in August. Let's get you some late August, September, and cruise into October, because with a weapon like him, that is a frail weapon. What are you pushing Tyler Glass now to six innings for in April or May? What are you doing it for?
Yeah,
He's got a long enough track record. You know what you're going to get.
I think that's a really good point, and maybe you're unlocking something that we don't necessarily think about, and that is some sort of load management, almost like they do in the NBA, right?
Yep.
To limit somebody like that, a pitcher like Glasnow, who is really injury prone, continues to be really injury prone. That's pretty interesting, actually, when you think about
it. How well Yu Darvish pitched with a few months, couple months off.
Yeah.
Think about how well Joe Musgrove pitched with a couple months off. That in my mind is not something I would.
I mean, you have to get to the playoffs.
Right. You have to have the luxury to be able to do that.
You have to have the luxury to be able to do that. I think if you're the LA Dodgers, you are going to roll out of bed and make the playoffs with you as the manager, me as the manager, you as the manager, Paulie as the manager. You're going to roll out of bed. It would take a miracle for that team, as it's constructed, as deep as they are, to not make the playoffs. So if I were in charge, I wouldn't. You never want to say, like, let's just not push guys. I mean, I think it's okay to, like, start a little bit slower. You don't need to be gangbusters in April, May, June. You know, you just don't. That's been proven. In fact, remember in May and June, we're like, who in the world is beating the Philadelphia Phillies? There's not a person, there's not a team on the planet that's going to be.
Except maybe the Yankees.
Except maybe the Yankees, because look how hot they started. What does it matter? It doesn't matter at all. We all look at these games as live and die every single night. If you have the feeling that your team is going to roll into the playoffs, load managing some of your better arms, some of your higher leverage arms is not the worst
strategy. But we thought the Padres were going to roll into the playoffs last year.
We did.
Thought they would. They had plenty of talent. That's, you know, it's all about maximizing it once the playoffs arrived. And guess what? They didn't even get there.
Yep.
They couldn't roll into the playoffs.
The strategy, though, was...
It was. Their strategy was
right.
Let's not worry about things early in the season. You know, we know we've got plenty of talent to make the playoffs. Stop panicking about these one-run losses and aberrations. We know our numbers will be there.
Yep.
And then it was too late.
Too late.
It was too late at the end of the year to get there. And that strategy didn't work for the Padres.
Yeah, I think, to me, the scariest part about what the Dodgers have done this year, beyond just winning the World Series and you feeling like the Padres are probably the best team they played along the way and obviously had a chance to knock them out. I mean, they had a chance to end this whole thing before it even really began. I think what scares me a little bit is it's felt like for the last decade or so that getting over that playoff hump was the Dodgers' Achilles heel, right? That looming feeling of, yeah, you won it in 2020, but that was, you know, not a real World Series per se. Now they're going to have gotten over that hump with the talent, with the money. So look, it doesn't mean anything for next year. It doesn't mean anything moving forward. But do you see now a Dodger team next year when presumably they're battling with the Padres again this time of year in October? That is a team that no longer has that cloud hovering over their head. We'll see.
That's the nightmare.
Padres fans, this did not work out.
The Dodgers team with all the baggage eliminated and simply the talent remaining. And when they go to the playoffs next year with the confidence of having won it, they'll just have that much more of an advantage over everybody else. And you could see a run like the Yankees had at the turn of the century, you know, win 4 World Series in 5 years, something like that. But even that run of the Yankees, it came like Yankees weren't that good before Derek Jeter, before that team run. They were bad.
Terrible.
The Dodgers have had this run of a decade plus before they've even started now winning titles. I mean, the Braves had their decade plus, but they only won the one and were ultimately disappointing. But the Dodgers are looking to turn that on their ear and go, okay, here was our decade of the Braves. Now here's our really good decade following our good decade.
The thing that would go against them being able to really rattle off something pretty crazy, like a, you know, winning 4 out of 5 like the Yankees did in the late 90s, 3 in a row, would be this new playoff format.
Yeah.
That it just appears that year after year we have a lot of results that come out of nowhere, and it's really hard to get through this format.
Yeah, this second straight time.
And maybe
this tournament's a little bit different than that one, certainly. But if this thing has done, you know, anything, like, do the Dodgers look rusty with that 5 days off? The resetting their rotation and their bullpen? Nope, they sure don't. Did they look? Both one seeds made it. Like, let's we don't need to change the format right now Because it's, again, it's small sample size both ways.
Yeah, you don't hear anything about that.
Not a
this
word.
Year.
No rest versus Russ right now.
And,
you know?
And again, no
rest is better.
No right. one's won back to back in a quarter of a century. There, whatever the reason for that is, I think Sammy touches on it with the playoff format, which has kind of expanded this century and made it harder to get through the postseason. I do think there's a, you know, when you just play deep into October, the coming back of the next year, adding a bunch of innings to your starters and everything in your bullpen makes them you a little more vulnerable. There's a number of reasons why in baseball in particular, it's harder to repeat. It's not impossible. That's for sure. I mean,
yeah. You know. I do think it's going to be interesting because what you can't do if you're A.J. Preller and Eric Grubner and Eric Kinsenda and whoever else is calling the shots is you can't be reactionary. And when you're reactionary to what teams like the Dodgers do, that's when you get yourself in trouble.
Right.
You know, the Yankees did that for a long time. They would get really reactionary. And
to the Red Sox.
To the Red Sox. And you're like, oh, God, why would you bring that? Why would you bring Jacoby Ellsbury?
Right.
You don't need Jacoby Ellsbury. He's not a good player. Let them sign it. Why would you bring Johnny Damon over? You know what I mean? Like, this doesn't make any sense. And what you can't do is you can't get super reactionary. And I know that's the... That's the nature of right. life. It's like, you know, your buddy gets a new car, you want a new car, right? Like,
yeah, I think the maybe the silver lining of this postseason is knowing that the Padres had the right formula.
Yeah,
if you're looking at the Dodgers team, what do the Padres have that the Dodgers have? A lengthy lineup yep. that puts together really good at-bats. Padres had that. A really, really good bullpen. Padres had that.
And a few really
Dodgers
a few good
have
starters.
Ended up having very good starting pitching yeah. in the postseason, especially in this World Series. Padres had that.
Dylan Cease, you just killed us, man.
Yeah, without knowing what this 26-man roster looks like on opening day, right now you can say confidently the Padres have whatever formula that is. They still, even though they lost that 5-game series, they still match up.
Fairly
really well,
well
for yeah. what you need this time. You
today,
know what the Dodgers yeah. have done, yeah.
yeah.
Right, we got to check traffic one more time, and then I'll tell you what are the chances that the Yankees can get this to at least at Game 5 before we wrap things up here on 97.3 The Fan.
From the 97.3 The Fan Traffic Center, here's Kelly Davick.
Wrapping up our morning drive with a couple of problems in the North County. Southbound side of the 5 Coastline near Encinitas Boulevard. Two cars and a pickup truck involved in a crash. They're all over the right shoulder. And an accident on the Auto Parkway off-ramp. Southbound 15, couple cars involved. I'm Kelly Danick with Ben & Woods, San Diego's number one sports station. 97.3 The Fan.
All right, since they went to the best of 7 format in the World Series, 24 times a team has taken a 3-0 lead in that World Series. We know how many times the series has gone 7 games and been lost by that team. 0. No team has ever come back from a 3-0 deficit and won the series. I can also tell you that no team has ever come back and even forced a game 7 that they lost.
Wow.
Hell yeah.
I can also tell you that no team has ever come back and even forced a game 6 when falling behind 3 games
Is
to none in the World Series.
Really?
Not even once.
I didn't know that.
I can also tell you that of those 24, only 3 of them have actually forced a game 5.
Very cool.
21
really?
Times. The team that is up 3-0 in the World Series
wow.
has just swept it in game 5.
I would have not guessed that.
I was surprised,
too. Yeah, wow.
So you have definitely...
You guys were talking earlier about the Dodgers and like when do they, you know, do they feel any pressure? Right now, the pressure is completely off. They don't feel any pressure until... It somehow gets sent back to Game 6.
If it goes back to LA, yeah.
That's the first time they start.
That's the first time. Yeah. And I'll say this. You'll think I'm maybe crazy, but we've actually seen him do it. If I believe it is going to be Brent Honeywell on the bump to start. Is what every ball the Dodger fans
that
I know.
That reactionary move the Dodgers made when they needed the Padres, Brent Honeywell.
Yes, they had to get him. If Honeywell gives up, a couple today, even if it's 2 or 3. Right, and the Yankees are heels able to get through, and it's a 3-0 Yankees lead in the fourth. Dave Roberts will have zero problem punting this game. Zero.
They did that in the NLCS.
They sure did. And
they basically punted game 2 and punted game 5.
And I have expect Kasperius.
I
expect all of those guys to come in and throw an inning here.
That's the formula.
That's the formula.
I think the reason why there's so many sweeps after 3-0 is. Teams realize when you're down 3-0, you're overmatched. But I don't think the Yankees necessarily will go into going, They're still the Yankees.
We can't beat Brett Honeywell.
We have Aaron Judge. We have Juan Soto.
Let's
get it done. We can't possibly be so overmatched. Get some runs against Brett Honeywell. Dodgers will do their punt. Then you got Garrett Cole going in game five, who's a nasty.
There's always a pass.
Get you to game six.
And then
you get to game six, and all of a sudden, again, I think the pressure changes immensely in that game.
You guys are cute.
I know.
It is cute.
But,
really
but if you let a team up for air, you never know. Dave Roberts should know that very well.
He lived it. He did not want to talk about it last night. Somebody asked him the question because I don't want to talk about
it. Yeah.
I mean, he just doesn't want to. He was on the good side of it and still doesn't want to talk about it.
Yeah, I picked the Yankees in seven. I really thought this would be a great back and forth series, but I think this ends tonight.
I do too.
Yeah.
Like to go back until 2023, AJ Preller. Would you be surprised to learn that Brent Honeywell will be the starter for the deciding game of the World Series next year?
You should text him that, see what he says.
You know what? I will say, I like Brent.
I do too. Great guy.
He was a good guy.
Yeah.
All right. We will continue this discussion tomorrow. Annie and Elston will continue it coming up next. Thank you, Sammy, for the surprise visit in
studio.
Right,
thank you.
Treat. Thanks to AJ Cassavell, who joined us earlier. For Paul Reindel and Stephen Woods, I'm Ben Higgins. Have a great rest of your Tuesday from all of us here at San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. So long, everybody.